You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. The Japanese word for ninja is shinobi, and you might recognize the word from that series of video games marketed by Sega in the late 1980s and onward, or you might know the word if you know your 16th century Japanese history. But Susan Spann hopes you're going to recognize the word from a series of historical novels that she writes called The Shinobi Mysteries. And Susan joins me in the studio. Welcome to Insight.
Good morning, Beth. Thank you for having me on.
So talk first in general about the series. And I said historical novels.
Yes, exactly. The Shinobi Mysteries are a series of books. I like to describe them as ninja detective novels. Mm-hmm. They are based on the ongoing adventures of a ninja or shinobi detective, Hiro Hattori, and his Portuguese Jesuit sidekick, Father Mateo.
Not completely fictional characters in the books either.
No, in fact, lots of shinobi, like Hiro, actually would have existed. They were bodyguards as well as assassins. A lot of people don't know that about ninjas. And as I was doing my research for the novels, I discovered that there was actually a Portuguese Jesuit priest who arrived in Japan the same year that my fictitious character did and disappeared into the populace working among the people.
Wow. Do you have anything to pull from to get some of their travels? I mean, ninjas were underground agents, as you said, and spies. How much research is there?
There's quite a bit of research, but fortunately, I like it. My undergraduate degree is in Asian studies from Tufts University, and I studied Japanese history and culture. And I mean, I've loved Japan since I was a little kid, so it's fun research. It's like playing.
You're a practicing lawyer, so how much fun is it when you come to do an interview like this and you're introduced as a writer?
Oh, I love it, actually. I've practiced publishing law for almost 20 years now, and I enjoy that. Writing has always been my passion, though, so this is really fun for me.
What's your writing routine? How do you do the day job and the side job?
I normally get up in the morning. I'm in the office usually about 8 o'clock in the morning, and I work on the law work from 8 to noon, and then in the afternoons I write.
Ah, okay. Well, you're going to share a bit from this new novel that's being released tomorrow.
Yes.
It's number 2 in the series. It's titled Blade of the Samurai, and I think this first reading gives us a glimpse into the nature of the character, the powerful warriors that you write about.
Yes. In fact, this scene takes place when Hiro and Father Mateo, my protagonists, first meet a man named Matsunaga Hisahide, who is an actual historical character, who I've fictionalized for the novels, who was assisting the shogun as one of his security forces in June of 1565 when the novel takes place. And so this is their first meeting with Matsunaga Hisahide. A samurai stepped into the room with the silent grace of a tiger. His graying hair was pulled back from a shaven forehead that crowned a handsome, emotionless face. He wore a black kimono adorned with the double diamond Miyoshi Mon, and his swords were sheathed in expensive scabbards. His confident posture and slender but muscular build suggested unusual fitness, especially in a man of middle age. Hiro bowed. Father Mateo followed. The samurai merely nodded in return. "Greetings, Matsunaga-sama," Akira said, using the higher honorific expected of an assistant addressing his master. "May I introduce the foreign priest, Father Mateo Avilo, and his translator, Matsui Hiro?" Hiro bowed again, an unnecessary gesture, but one that obligated Hisahide to speak first. "You are the man who captured Akechi Hideyoshi's murderer," Hisahide looked at Hiro as he spoke. "Father Mateo solved the crime," the shinobi said. "I am merely his translator." Hisahide smiled. "You are Matsui Hiro of Iga Province, second and only surviving son of Matsui Jiro. Your father served his daimyo with honor, though his early death forced you to come to Kyoto and seek employment as a scribe. 3 years ago, this foreigner hired you as a translator, a most unfortunate turn of fate, though reports suggest you bear the burden honorably." "Thank you, Matsunaga-sama," Hiro said with another bow. The information was mostly wrong, but it accurately represented the story Hiro had planted upon his arrival in Kyoto. He was glad to know his cover story had fooled the Miyoshi spies. "The shogun expects me to find and punish the man who killed his cousin," Hisahide said, "and I expect both of you to help me do it."
That's Susan Spann of Citrus Heights. She's reading from the newest book in her series. The book is titled The Blade of the Samurai, and the series is The Shinobi Mysteries. So you first became interested, if I read the story correctly, because of a book that you weren't able to read when you were a youngster?
Yes, I like to say that my love for Japan was born from a book I never read.
Yeah, what's that story?
I was in the seventh grade, and we were assigned to read a book called Through Chinese Eyes, which told history through the eyes of the people who lived it. And before that, history for me was dates and dead people. And let's be honest, it was just not something interesting. And my class ran out of time, and we never got to read that book. And of course, adult me looks back and says, you know, you could have gone to the library and checked that book out and read it at any time. Yeah. But seventh grade me was just fascinated by this thought that history was about people. And that had never occurred to me before. Hmm. And about Asian people and the fact that Asia had a history all its own, separate from ours. And I became really interested in what that history might have been.
And eventually, did you read the book?
You know, I did eventually read the book. It took me to get to college before I did. And I read many, many more, obviously, and just fell in love in particular with Japanese history and culture.
Well, that book was Chinese culture, and somehow Japanese culture caught you up. And in fact, isn't your son studying there right now?
He is. He's actually in Japan. He's in Okazaki. He spent last weekend in Tokyo. He was there when the earthquake hit.
Wow.
And he slept through it, which that's what a college age.
Right. Mom, I'm fine.
Oh, yes. He said, Mom, I texted him and said, there's been an earthquake. And he said, oh, that explains the screen full of alert characters that were on my phone when I woke up this morning.
Oh, funny. Oh.
But, you know, you get an emergency alert from the government where you're staying. You sleep through it. Mom mm-hmm. texts you. You text her back in 2 minutes.
Well, did he grow up with your fascination? Were you telling him stories and exploring? Did you travel to Japan when he was young?
We didn't when he was young. I actually spoke Chinese to him and a little bit of Japanese when he was growing up. It was actually very convenient when you'd be out in a store and be able to tell him in Chinese, you know, don't do that. And people didn't know you were kind of getting after him. But he did grow up with it. He's actually my alpha reader on my novels. He's very honest, and he reads the fifth draft before anybody else sees it.
It occurred to me in reading the book that it would be a great young readers, young adult book as well, but it's written for adults
as a
historical novel, but I think it crosses some lines.
You know, I that's funny. Library Journal said the same thing about this novel, and said that although it's clearly an adult novel, it has what they called, you know, could have YA appeal. I've gotten a lot of comments from people whose 15, 16-year-olds have really enjoyed it. So.
Yeah, definitely great summer reading because 1 and 2 will be out now. I think that's a nice starter on a series. Would you say a little bit more about the ninjas? Because you write about how they were so trained in advanced ways in anatomy, as well as their techniques.
Yes. One of the reasons I really wanted to have a ninja detective or a shinobi detective is that because they were so highly trained as assassins, they understood a lot about anatomy. And that meant if you understand anatomy and you understand how to kill someone, if you look at a dead body, the forensics would be available to them in a way that it wouldn't be available to another medieval detective. And one of the things I really like is the ability to take modern forensic answers and translate them backward through the centuries to what Hiro might have actually known as a trained assassin.
I like that about your reading, even in simple things like the Akita at one point going after Father Mateo. Somebody misunderstands what happened, just like somebody misunderstands a wound and you explain, no, this would have happened because of this. The wound would have happened because of that. It's a fun part of the book. Can we talk for a moment about the cover art?
Yes.
Because the first book that you wrote, I read that you actually had tears in your eyes when you finally saw the cover. And then the second, both of them are beautiful pieces of artwork, but they weren't in your control.
They were totally out of my control. And my cover designer and my editor at Minotaur are some of my favorite people on the planet. I love the cover art. The first book, what ended up happening was I saw a mock-up, and the first book is called Claws of the Cat. And Claws of the Cat is actually the English translation for Nekote, which is a claw weapon used by female ninjas. And on the cover, when I finally saw the final cover, there was an orchid. And that was very special to me. It was not in the mock-up. But my father, who passed away 2 years before the novel was published, so he never actually read it, used to raise orchids. And when I saw that on the cover, it was almost like Dad reaching out to me and saying, it's okay, I'm still here with you and I approve.
And even more than that, it was the particular cymbidium, or it was the particular green orchid that he loved?
It was. His prize orchids were green cymbidiums with little red, he used to call them red faces, the little red spots on them. And that's exactly the orchid that the designer used on that first cover.
So for this book, you had some sort of a contest going on online with clues and pieces of the cover art, which you said had been stolen by ninjas.
Yes, I love a game. And so I had a cover reveal where we had split the cover into little pieces and we said it was stolen by ninjas and I needed the help of readers to get it back. And I enjoy doing things like that with my covers. In fact, I have seen the mock-up for the third novel, which is called Flask of the Drunken Master, which will be out next year. And we'll have a game coming up for that in the fall.
And you're writing the fourth, right?
I am.
And no hint about that one, but your same characters all the way through.
Yes, the same characters all the way through. And in fact, some of the secondary characters follow through the series from book to book. So.
Okay, well, the flash in your eyes tells me you're having so much fun with these books.
Oh, I love it.
And
I love it.
And they're getting rewards already. Claws of the Cat, the first one, was named a Library Journal Mystery Debut of the Month. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Book signings and parties coming up. July 25th, you're going to be in El Dorado Hills?
I am at Face in a Book at 6:30 p.m.
Okay, and then we've got a couple more August 16th, and you're back at Barnes & Noble's in at Birdcage.
Yes, at the Birdcage store.
All right. Well, keep writing.
Thank
Come back
you very
to us
much.
With the next one, okay?
I would love to. Thank you so much.
All right, Susan, thanks so much. And we have more about the Shinobi Mysteries at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio. Still ahead, the Africa Hope Fund.